Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 4, episode 7, the Christmas, huh?
Excellent pronunciation of the huh. Krismika? Huh? Love it.
Did you huh after watching this episode, Heather?
So most of the time when I watch the episode, Jane and I don't talk about it until we come on the podcast to talk about it. Like 98% of the time, we don't talk about it until we're chatting.
Yep.
As we are now. I sent Jane a voice note last night. Squealing, literally just being like, what the fuck? This episode is wild, like so wild.
It's a season 4 craziness.
I kinda love it, yeah. we will touch on it as we go, but there's so much about this episode that I just absolutely adore. Can I just read the synopsis for it before we begin?
Go for it.
Just to remind you, if you're unfamiliar, Ryan and Taylor have an accident and wake up in a parallel world. I'm sorry, what? What now? Well, if you are new to this podcast, my name is Heather. I have never seen the OC before, which is why this is so wild.
My name is Jane. I have seen the OC before, and I'm not surprised. This is the craziness we warned you about.
Is this the start of the craziness? Because I feel it's not been too wild up until now.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty nuts as it goes.
This is pretty nuts. I have two pieces of any other business before we jump in.
Exciting.
That's okay.
Go for it.
First, thank you, everyone, who got in touch. We were a bit late in putting the episode up last week, and we had loads and loads and loads of lovely, lovely messages being like, I hope you're okay, I hope everything's good, blah, blah. I think this is actually the first time in our podcast history that we have put it up so late. I think the latest I've ever put it up is like a Thursday afternoon. But this time we pushed back from our usual Thursday to a Saturday, which is wild.
It just means that I kind of like when stuff like that happens, because as a podcast listener, because you're then like, it's less time to the next episode, if that makes sense.
That is true.
Yeah.
It's also just a reminder that, you know, we are real people with real lives and real things happen. Loads of people were very concerned because I used the phrase unforeseen circumstances, and I didn't realise that people would be genuinely concerned for our well-being. Basically, I went out and did a 22k walk, not realising that was the plan, got horrifically sunburnt, and I don't know if it was sunstroke, I don't know if I was just exhausted, I don't know if I was too sweaty, but I got home and messaged Jane and was like, "Bae, I can't be editing tonight. Sorry."
Yeah, it looked very painful.
It was pretty gnarly.
And also, I don't have, just to let the listeners know, I am COVID free. And I now have more of a voice. Yeah, just a bad cold.
So yeah, the recording gods were not in our favour last week. That mixed with the chainsaw from when we were recording. The recording podcast gods were not in our favour last week, but it's okay. Hopefully they've had a change of heart and this week's going to go smoothly.
Did we have a screaming cat as well, or was that on another episode?
No, that was the episode before. Oh, God. Well, hopefully this week, for the safety of our little rooms, will be okay.
Yeah.
My other piece of other business before we get into it, we have another big congratulations to include this week. The lovely Carrie Reed, one of our listeners who we chat to fairly regularly, only went and bloody got married, didn't she?
Congrats, Carrie.
How exciting.
Oh, love all the wedding chat.
I know. I also had a snoop at her pictures and her shoes were fabulous. Lovely. So yeah, straight off for this episode, there was no last time.
I know.
Just went straight in. Which I kind of like.
Yeah.
And this aired the 14th of December, 2006. Little fact there for you. Did my homework this week.
So should we just jump right into the crazy? So we've got Ryan, who's taking a short break from putting up the Christmas lights. Surely they would pay someone to do that.
And also they would put them up before Christmas Eve.
Yeah. But yeah, they're putting up the Christmas lights and Kirsten comes in and is sort of saying, oh, have you invited Taylor for Christmas Eve dinner? Invited her to Christmaca. And then they have this sort of chat, which you can't really blame Ryan, can you? Because, I mean, you give Taylor an inch and she takes a mile. but he is worried that if he asks her, she'll assume that she's his girlfriend. And yeah, it's just all a bit, you can see the predicament that he's in.
Yeah, I do enjoy Kirsten's reaction when she was like, oh, you boys are so predictable. And I was like, yeah, they are, Kirsten. And then she very confidently comes back being like, it's Christmaca, we make our own rules, like, just invite her. Yeah. And he's like, right, okay, I'll invite her today. And then the magical moment, the sad moment, the turning point moment, Ryan receives a letter from Marissa.
Did your heart skip a beat?
Oh my God. Like, we'll get to it when we get to it, but I was not emotionally prepared for this element to this wild episode.
Yeah. So we then cut to Julie, who is putting up her decorations. Again, she's putting up her decorations, although her and Kirsten are going to Riverside for Caitlin. Christmas.
Caitlin.
Are you going to Riverside?
See, you're turning into me. I always get the names wrong. Maybe it's contagious. Sorry about that. I know we've talked about this before, but anytime anyone says the word Riverside, all I think is that office. No, I think of that song that's like,
Riverside, motherfuckers.
Yeah. That's all I can think of, which I actually think is very aptly
for Chilly.
It works with the vibe. It really does.
It's been haunting my dreams because it was Riverside and Festival in Glasgow last weekend.
Oh, man. I also love that Julie is dressed like she's going to Riverside. Yeah. She's got her Juicy Couture tracksuit on, classic. She's got her big hoop earrings in, like she's ready to rough and tumble.
She is. But yeah, Caitlin's less than impressed that they're going to Riverside. And she also, I'm sure I had the t-shirt that she has on. It's like white and it's got like musical notes all over it.
Cute. Like, of course she did.
I definitely had something to that effect.
I'm Jane and I love music. I have music notes on my top.
Fuck off.
Now you've just moved on to obscure band t-shirts. Yeah. If anyone's like, do you even know them? You'll be like, yes, I know their entire back catalogue. Yeah. Here it is.
Oh, I probably deserve that. Taylor enters singing and she has a big, beautifully wrapped gift for Ryan, which is a George Foreman grill. And I feel this would have been very of the time, huh?
Like, yes, very of totally the time. I also love product placement in TV shows. I love it when it's done well. I love it when it's done badly. I love it. There's something about it that is so Truman Show-esque.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when his wife turns around and she's like, have you tried this new Snapple? It's really delicious and has five of your five a day. Like, it's so, I just love it. I love it so much.
But Caitlin and Julie invite Taylor to come to Riverside because Veronica's going to Cabo. And then, did you get this? And Taylor's like, oh, I don't want to go to Cabo with her. I don't like Mexican food. I was like, well, she's putting in a right shift, hanging about Ryan's work and eating all the Mexican.
Eating all the tacos. I know. Clearly, it's a very obvious lie where she's like, I don't even like Mexican food. I don't even want to go.
But she says that she's going to the Coens for Christmas dinner. And they're like, oh, have you been invited? And she's like, no, but when he sees his gift, he'll definitely invite me.
So confident. Back over at the Coens, Ryan is sitting outside looking sad, looking at his letter, unsure whether to open it, which completely understandable. Like, your girlfriend passed away like, what, 6 months ago, I reckon, by now?
Yeah.
Ish. Like, I wouldn't want to open that letter. I think it's like you've got two clear reactions. You either rip it open straight away and read it because you're just desperate for any kind of
connection to
a tangible thing, or you do what Ryan's doing and you're like, oh god, what's it gonna say? Is it gonna change what I thought about, what I think about her, all that sort of stuff? And then Taylor comes in carrying said George Foreman and he's a bit like, I'm a bit busy right now, goes up the ladder to go and like put the reindeer in the roof, and Taylor's not so subtly asking about dinner and whether, you know, she should be coming.
Yeah.
Maybe, probably, yes. Right?
Yeah, she invites herself, essentially, doesn't she? And then Ryan sort of, they kind of dance around the idea of her not being her girlfriend. And then she starts climbing the ladder armed with the parcel. And she's like, what did you get me? A hot steaming pile of rejection. And then they both fall. We come tumbling
they
down.
Do. They very much do. Do you know what I don't understand? Just continuity, please.
This entire episode.
Well, yes. Very hard, yes. But more importantly, the end of the last episode, which we did not get a reminder of because there was no last time, but they, led by Taylor, very much agreed that she was like, I don't want, what was the amazing quote she had? She was like, just because I want to claim your body like a jungle gym, yeah, doesn't mean I want to,
she's still like, be your girlfriend.
Exactly. And yet she's coming into this episode, which is quite soon after the last episode, hard and heavy, yeah, being like, I want to be your girlfriend. I want to be your girlfriend. Like, when did that shift?
Who knows? And then, yeah, it cuts to the kitchen and Kirsten's got a really weird looking ham.
Yeah, why is it so burnt?
I don't
looks
know.
More like a turkey crown.
I don't know what it looks like. It looks like a big rock to me, to be honest. But, but yeah, Ryan and Taylor wake up. Yeah, she says she's still like raging, isn't she? He's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my heart hurts. And then she sort of like thrusts the gifts at him and says she hopes he grills his face.
Yeah. The receipts are inside, which is always important when you're buying a gift. Leave the receipt.
Yeah.
Get a gift receipt.
And then Ryan gets up and is just like, what the hell? Goes into the pool house, which is a gym.
A very smashing looking gym.
Yeah. Well equipped. And then he's confronted with Kirsten, who's all sort of like dressed in a black power suit and is like, who are you?
I said this was off limits to staff. And he's a bit like, Kirsten? Mom?
Is that you?
Kirsten? And she's like, excuse me, do I know you? And then we go into the jingle, not the jingle, the
opening credits.
Yeah. And it has a really weird remix of California, which has nothing on our jingles.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Absolutely nothing. Like, we have like four or five different versions of the opening jingle that we use. And honestly, every week without fail, I'm like, I don't know which one to use because I love them all.
So
I literally
good.
Just go, and that one. So, yeah.
Love it.
Nothing in our ones.
Love it.
Thank you, Callum Wiseman. Love you always.
Yeah, so we've got some very slow, almost eerie opening credits. And then it looks like Kirsten's got is getting set up and for an event or whatever in the house for Christmas, and she asks the guy leading it, like, oh, is he one of your guys? And it's like, no. And then she Ryan's like, where's Seth? And he then realizes that it's potentially Seth's pal, but she sort of like shoos him away and tells him to stop wandering about her house. So Kirsten's got no idea who he is.
Yeah, she actually shoos him, an actual shoo, now shoo. Weird, very weird. She is like peak Noopsie. She is exactly
everything she doesn't want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Cut to this kind of promenade pier joint where the comic book store is, the outside mall, I would describe it as. And Julie Cooper, our one and only, our humble savior, Julie Cooper, is helping homeless people.
She's helping the street urchins.
She is on a mission. And then Ryan kind of comes up to her and is like, hello? Like, do you know me? And she kind of gives him a voucher, doesn't she, for the shelter?
Yeah.
And it's like, run along now, honey. Which is just so weird.
Sure.
Cut to the comic book store and Seth is getting bullied by Luke's wee brothers.
Yes. Ryan basically, I think they take Seth's wallet, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And then Ryan takes it back and he's like, oh, do you know me from Brown? And he's like, no, I don't. So obviously Seth doesn't realise who he is either, and Seth just seems really pathetic and annoying. And yeah, we then cut to he's whimpering over Summer, who we see across the way, wearing
trying on a wedding dress.
Yeah.
And then Ryan's like, oh, is it bad luck to like see the bride? It's like, is that why you don't want to see her? Because, you know, it's bad luck to see the bride. And then Seth just like whimpers away. And like, this is exactly what Seth was like at the start of the series.
So much.
Like, not the series, like the whole show, at the very start of the whole show. Taylor says something later which makes me laugh so much when she describes him as like a future Unabomber. It's like, a little bit. Do you know the only thing that I really love about this episode, like as a alternative universe vibe? Sandy being mayor.
Yeah.
I would vote for Sandy totally.
Definitely, he's got my vote. But we see Sandy at the yacht club and he's chatting to a guy who makes reference to, oh, your wife never rests, what's she like? We find out he's mayor. Ryan turns up and goes to Sandy. Obviously, he's like, right, if one person can fix this, it's going to be Sandy. And Sandy's just like, look, you're clearly going through something, pal, but stalking's like not the answer.
Yeah, stalking me and my family. And then the security guy just escorts him out, kicks him out.
That's him.
Back to real life. I feel we're going to be saying this a lot.
Yeah.
Back in the real world, Kirsten's very much like, Ryan, can you hear me? And it turns out he is in hospital with Taylor and the doctors are very much like, we just need to wait for them to wake up. There's like, they are fine.
No serious injury.
We just need to wait. Yeah, we just need to wait for them to wake up. Now, back in the alternative universe, Ryan is sitting on a bench looking a bit flustered, distraught. I don't know if it was here, but there was definitely a point in this outdoor mall bit where there was a poster. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I've totally missed this, so go for it.
So there was a poster that says like personal appearance or something appearance from Johnny Harper, PacWest surf star.
Yes, do you know, I didn't notice it in this when I was watching it, but I remember this from first time around. Yes.
So, because that is what probably would have happened if Johnny hadn't met Marissa and Johnny got run over.
Yep.
So that's good, I guess.
Oft, yes. So Johnny's here. Oh, yeah, I'm glad they didn't put him in the episode though. Anyway, Taylor.
We're glad he's alive, but we don't want him in the show.
Taylor arrives and she knows him. So they're both trapped in this parallel universe together, and they start exchanging what they've been discovering so far.
And she's very much like, oh, I'm so grateful I'm in a parallel universe with you. But you're probably not, because you'd want to be in a parallel universe with somebody who you actually want to go out with.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
that's what I've
written. Get over yourself.
I've basically written down, she's still banging on. She is.
And this is where they kind of deduce that they're probably not dead. Because if they were dead, hopefully there'd be some like pearly gates, guy with a beard, all that jazz. But Taylor, due to her sci-fi obsession from younger years, is pretty confident they are in a parallel universe and she knows how to get back. They've been sent here to fix something.
Yep.
And they need to try and figure out what that is.
Then what did you make about the comeback of Holly?
There are no words to describe how I feel about... No, actually, let me try. So, Summer Roberts, IRL, Summer Roberts, not alternative universe. We love her. We really do. We love her growth. We love her change. Like, we love who she's becoming. A lot of tick boxes.
Yep.
I also kind of love this Summer.
Oh, she's so irritating.
She is, but she plays them. She plays that character so well. It's such like a caricature of what that type of person would be. It's like,
I guess,
Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears all ran into each other of the early noughties, and that is who Summer is acting like.
Yeah.
And she's just so gross. And I kind of love it. And the simple fact that Holly is included in this just brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah. But yeah, they're in their sort of juicy tracksuits. She has a huge ring.
And 4 carats. Yeah. Don't know what that means.
And she is marrying Chester, or as we know him, Che.
So
just when you
funny.
Think you couldn't hate him anymore.
Taylor describes Summer as, alt Summer is a mindless bimbo. Which is pretty true. And this is where they deduce that this is what they've been sent here to fix. And she, Summer keeps being like, hey, bitch, hey, bitch, oh. hey, bitch. And it's like, are you a Rick and Morty fan?
I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I have watched it, yeah.
Okay, so there's an episode where they do like a Inception piss take. Mm-hmm. And like the last character they see is this like monster that's chasing them. And it's like, are you ready to die, bitch? And it just really reminded me of this. So every time she says it, it reminded me of that. If you're a Rick and Morty fan, that all makes sense. If you're not, you should watch Rick and Morty. It's really funny.
But yeah, they sort of figure out that, well, how on earth has Che got into this equation? And Taylor's like, well, maybe his family moved here, and then when you didn't move here, he took your spot at Harbour, and here we are. And then it's just such brutal chat. Like, I can't even remember where they're going, but Holly and Summer, I think there's like a sale on something, and she's like, oh, I'm just going to go, and he's like, yeah, I'll go get pumped, like meaning like go to the gym, and she's like, that's my job, bitch. She's just like, oh, so cringe.
I didn't even write it down, it grossed me out so much. Ugh. Anyway, back to the real world. The nurse is very adamant that they'll wake up soon and you need to talk to them. You need to bring, you know, the smells, the sounds.
Yeah.
So Sandy decides that he wants to bring Chrismica to the hospital.
Yep.
Now, you can't even take Vaseline into a hospital, but he's expecting to take Chrismica. Yep. Do you think this is what happens when you pay for your healthcare? You can do what you want.
Do what you want.
Weird. So weird. Outside the yacht club in the alternative universe.
Yep.
Right. I love Chris Pratt. I really do. I think he's a magnificent actor. Happy Shay is so annoying, but it just shows what a good actor he is, that he can make you hate. Like, you know, he's good. The simple fact he can switch from that character to this character of Chester so effortlessly and make him so believable. Like, see this guy he's playing, I know him. I feel like I know him, you know? Like, I think he does a great job.
He's the worst. But yeah, Taylor starts spying on them, and then you see Che calling someone, be like, oh, you're wearing that thong I got you? I'll be there to meet you in 15 minutes. So obviously he's cheating on Summer, and he's like, love you. So then Taylor stalks off after him to see who's wearing the thong, basically.
I, for a very brief second, thought it was going to be Marissa.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. For a very, very brief second, I thought that's where this was going. And then I was like, nah, there's no chance in hell she would have come back to be acting in this, but sure. Did you notice as well that he winks at Taylor as he's scuttling off? Yeah.
But funny. Yeah, Taylor's on the Summer chase stuff, and then Ryan goes to the house, the Cohen house, to sort of look for Seth. And we find out that, and this was Heather's voice note moment, Kirsten is married to Jimmy Cooper. OMG.
Do you reckon I could play it down the microphone?
Probably.
Because it was pretty. All right, let me turn this up. Okay, this is what I sent Jane.
Oh my God, it's Jimmy Cooper. Jimmy Cooper's back. But he's not Jimmy Cooper. He's going out with... Oh my God. Jane, why didn't you warn me about this?
Because that's my job.
Why didn't you warn me about this?
Because I'm not supposed to. I'm not allowed to tell you anything. That's the whole problem.
Oh, well. Did I not say in the last episode, I hope we see Jimmy Cooper again? I've definitely said
that recently.
You've
definitely said it. Yeah.
How did you hold a straight face?
Oh, there you go. Well, do you know, I left this to the very, like, I started watching it. I only watched it this morning because I knew this was like the batshit episode, and I didn't want to risk any voice notes in the meantime.
Oh man, I love it. I've missed Jimmy. I also like that Jimmy's still quite like himself. Like he is a character, hasn't changed. He's just changed. I bet he's really happy in this life.
Yeah, of course he's got Kirsten.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, he doesn't really get much screen time or lines, which is disappointing. But yeah, nice to see him. Hello, Jimmy.
The one thing he does do is invite Ryan to the party, saying all of Newport will be there.
Yes.
This was the point that I was like, maybe this is where you'll see Marissa. Although, put yourself in his situation. You've woken up in an alternative universe. Why would the first thing you do not be to go and see if she's alive?
Yeah. Although he's maybe, yeah, well, who knows? That Will wouldn't be very good writing, would it?
No.
So, but yeah, I also liked Kirsten roasting Seth. Because it's like, yeah. Oh, he's a friend of Seth's. So it really is a Christmas miracle. But yeah, he gets invited to the party. And meanwhile, Che turns up at, well, I don't know what residence this is. To me, it still looks like the Roberts residence, but this is obviously
where
Sandy and Julie live. We find out that Sandy and Julie are married. Like, what kind of world are we living in? Really?
What kind of world are we living in?
We get the idea that Sandy and Kirsten have been married previously. And we're right in thinking that, yeah, Jimmy and Julie have been married previously. Yeah. Obviously they've had the kids. Yeah. So again, oh, this is so weird. So we've got Taylor stalking Che. So Sandy leaves. Che is hiding in the bushes making dog noises.
Yeah, not into that. That it really made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Actually, throughout when he's making the dog noises, yeah, made me feel uncomfortable.
And then Julie, sort of, when Sandy's out of the scene, sort of lures Che in by like beckoning him. And then Taylor follows and sees Che and Julie getting it on. A lot of spanking, yep, and daddy chat and just really weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good to know that Julie is kind of the same in all, yeah, universes. She's very, yeah, true to her character.
She is. But I think the sort of, oh, the key thing we have here is we find out that Julie's daughter, presumably Marissa, is coming home from Berkeley at 3 p.m. And this is where I got like,
yeah, yeah. Especially because it showed you a picture of Julie and Marissa.
Marissa, yeah. Really all nice. The feels. All the feels.
So they head back to the diner, they being Taylor and Ryan, and kind of fill each other in on what they have discovered on their solo, yeah, adventures.
They're basically exchanging horror stories, aren't they?
Yeah. And for a while, I thought Taylor was going to not tell Ryan that, yeah, about Marissa, but she does. And she's trying to like be quite rational with him and be like, look, she's not going to know who you are. Like, surely that's going to hurt you more, yeah, her not knowing who you are. And if she is alive, you don't want to come back, do you? Like, you just, yeah, want to stay here. So she kind of accepts that and lets him go to the airport, yeah, to meet Marissa off the plane.
So we're back in our current universe, the real universe.
back in the real world.
And it's really pretty stormy and Caitlin is getting geared up for her very Britney Christmas at Riverdale, Riverside. How can I say it? Riverside.
Yeah. Right, we can't do that every time we say it. Come on.
But Summer basically comes and tells them about Ryan and Taylor being in comas. And they're like, right, we need to go and look for Veronica Townsend. She has to see Taylor. So the Riverside trip is cancelled and they go off in search of her. Then, yeah, we're back to the hospital with Kirsten and the nurse gives Kirsten the letter. Oh, yeah, this bit, I didn't find that a nurse would ever say any of this. But yeah, she gives them the letter and she's like, oh, sometimes when patients will come out of the coma, when they're ready to come out, like they need to heal themselves. Yeah, I've just written down like a load of shite.
Yeah, any nurses who are listeners, please let us know your thoughts and feelings on that, yeah, speech, because... yeah, wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. Going back to Caitlin's comment super quickly about having a very Britney Christmas, mm-hmm, I have not long demolished another podcast called Pieces of Britney.
Is it the Pandora Sykes one?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh,
it's
she's awesome.
So good. If you're following the Free Britney movement, or if you're just interested in that situation and what's going on, or if maybe you just love pop music, maybe you just love podcasts, give it a listen because it's bloody amazing. Pieces of Britney. It's on Spotify. It's probably in other places, but that's where I listen to it.
Yeah, Pandora's amazing. Love her.
Right. At the airport in the alternative world, Ryan sees Marissa and I got quite upset here. Not like crying, but I was like, oh my God, like, how, yeah, are they going to do this? Like, what is this? Yeah. And then she turns around because she's got like the pink Berkeley sweater. Like, she's got the hair. Like, she's got the big bag. Like, I thought it was her. Yeah. And then she turns around and it's actually Caitlin.
Yeah. And we then find out that So Ryan makes a comment about Marissa, and he said, oh, you know, you knew my sister? And he said, yeah, I knew her. And she's like, oh, Marissa died 3 years ago. She overdosed in TJ when they were going back to season one, when Ryan saved her from her overdose.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's super sad.
Super sad.
And Taylor kind of pops up behind afterwards, being like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And then it kind of jumps quite quickly to...
They're at the yacht club, where they are. I think.
Oh, yeah. And she's trying to, like, reassure him and be like, you gave her another 3 years of life. You gave her love. Like, you gave her all these wonderful experiences. Like, you couldn't save her.
Yeah.
Like, that's the conclusion of this, is, like, you couldn't save her.
Yeah.
But what you did save is you saved the Coens. Mm-hmm. Like, you saved
Seth. You've done so much.
And, yeah, Seth, Sandy, Kirsten. Without you, Seth is an ex-Unibomber. Lol. Sandy's married to Slutty McSlutterson. Also lol. And Kirsten probably hasn't had an orgasm in like a year. That whole speech, yeah, I was like, brilliant. Yeah, fair. It's very funny. Very funny. So they decide to save the Coens, which will ultimately mean they can both go home to the real world.
Yeah. I also liked when Ryan was just like to Taylor, has anyone ever said no to you? And she's like, once. And I pushed him off a roof.
Taylor, what a gal. What a gal.
She's something else.
Right, Coen Kitchen IRL. Seth thinks they're an alternative universe. Of course he does. Kind of like The Wizard of Oz. The phone goes and it's Kirsten calling Sandy to be like, I think I know why Ryan hasn't woken up. Back to the fake world, the alternative world. Taylor and Ryan are at the party. They see Seth sneak up to his room.
Yeah.
Ryan takes his mission to go and talk to him. And then we hear Veronica shouting at Taylor, who in this world is a boy. But she's saying exactly the same stuff.
Yeah, it's... I don't get how Ryan Atwood not coming to Chino has made Taylor be a boy.
No, I don't.
But then I guess they just
either.
Had to do that because Taylor's also in the parallel universe. But yeah, anyway. Yeah. But she is being absolutely horrible to her son, Taylor.
Boy Taylor.
And then we cut back to the real world and she is about to board a plane to Cabo with what looks like a much younger man. Mm-hmm. And Julie and Caitlin come up to her and they're like, look, this Taylor's in hospital. And she says, what, with anorexia? She's just the worst, isn't
she? She's just grim. I couldn't stop thinking here how difficult this would be for Julie. Like, I know she's not real. I know she's just a character. I'm aware.
Yeah.
But imagine you've recently lost your daughter. You're then kind of left looking after this other girl who's the same age, kind of looks fairly similar.
Yeah.
Like, and then for her actual mother to treat her so badly and be so cruel and be so mean, I don't know how and why Julie didn't just punch her in the face and be like, you're a shit mum and you don't know what you've got.
Yeah, but she does say, look, if you don't come and see your daughter right now, I'm going to tell security you have a bomb. And that seals the deal. So Veronica goes with them. So then, this scene's a bit of a meh scene. It's just Seth and Ryan in the parallel universe, and Seth is just being pathetic and moaning about how much he hates his life. And then Ryan's like, look, this is actually a parallel universe, and there is a universe in which you're with Summer, everyone's happy. And Seth's like, oh, totally knew this was happening. So Ryan's like, right, I'm going to tell you what you need to do to get Summer. Listen to me.
And have you seen a show called The Valley?
Yeah. Have you seen The Valley? So yeah, he's getting
so funny.
Getting the plan in action. And then we're back. Taylor is in the alternative universe with Kirsten and she's trying to get the wheels turning there. She turns up at the party and she's like, oh, I work for the mayor. And Kirsten's like, oh, what's that like? And she's like, oh, it's good. But he spends most of the time moping about, crying over his ex-wife. And she's like, oh, I probably shouldn't say that because she might be here.
Yeah.
And then, we've got Che and Summer arriving, greeting everyone with ho, ho, ho.
I'm 100% doing that this Christmas. Oh. That's how I'm going to make my grand entrance to my family.
Love it.
Gathering. Ho, ho, ho. 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 Nobody will get it other than me, but it'll be great.
You can send me a vid.
I will.
But yeah, Taylor and Ryan, they basically need to get the couples alone to try and make them realise that they're meant to be together. Very optimistic plan. So Taylor, she's spoken to Kirsten. She now approaches Che and she's like, oh, Julie's actually in the toilet. And she said something about a thong removification.
Yeah.
And he's just like so bloody creepy and is like, oh, do you want to come too?
And then Ryan does the same kind of line with Julie. So she sneaks off to the toilet to have a rendezvous with Shay.
Yeah.
She gives out like, oh yeah, that's an acronym for something. The
home of people. Of Newport. She couldn't really figure out what the G was going to be. But yeah, she makes her excuses.
Taylor goes to go up to Sandy and he gives us, did you notice this little aside about the hospital and
with Griffin?
Like, I hope it's about the hospital and Griffin. And then Taylor talks to Sandy and kind of gives him the same story that she gave to Kirsten, basically saying that Kirsten's still in love with you and talks about you all the time. And then we cut to Seth talking to Summer and trying to persuade her, or not even just trying to talk to her about the valley, and then talks to her about plastic horses.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I've got a plastic horse called Princess Sparkles. Wait, no. And then she's like, oh my God, I've got a horse called Princess. It's just making her out, even in her most idiot of idiot moments, a la the first couple of episodes of the entire show. She was never that stupid,
no.
No.
But yeah, then we cut over to Taylor's mum, and Veronica's still just banging on about weight stuff, and Taylor just sort of loses it and she's like, look, shut up, stop fat shaming him, stop fat shaming me. And then she's just like, you bitch. And you can see that she's like, it's so cathartic, isn't it? It's as if she's just had like the weight of the world and like everything she'd wanted to say to her mum for so long is just in these two words, you bitch. And then you can feel, because I thought there, I was like, oh, she's just going to like vanish and wake up like right and then, because she's done, like her purpose of being in this parallel universe was to sort of address the issues with her mum and sort of overcome them and realize that she's not going to be able to make her change and just come to terms with that.
Yeah. But we cut to Jimmy, one of his like, what, two lines, three lines that he gets in the whole show, comes out and tells everyone about Julie and Shay.
Oh, this is awful, isn't it?
And it's just, it's so funny because like you can tell nobody is surprised by what's happening.
Yeah.
Least of all Summer, who's like, oh, that's what you said about Holly. I'm starting to feel suspicious. I'm starting to get suspicious. Basically being like, you're cheating on me all the time.
Yeah.
That's, and then weirdly, like Seth sticks up for Summer, doesn't he?
Yeah, Seth sort of like sticks up for Summer. Chase starts making eyes at like this hot girl on the other side of the room and he's like, gotta go, thong emergency. And then Kirsten and Sandy sort of realize, Kirsten's like, well, you can't stop crying over me. And he's like, no, you're the one that can't stop crying over me. And then they both just look at Taylor. She's totally busted. And then at this point, it's like her work here is done and she is away back to real life.
Yeah. IRL, she wakes up. Which leaves Ryan on his own to walk back into the party alone.
Yeah.
And Sandy's like, so are you going to explain yourself? And Summer very rightly is like, who is this random guy that we're all listening to? Yeah. Like, what is going on here? And then Ryan gives him all this big talk, basically being like, this is all wrong. You guys are all better than this.
Yeah,
deserve better than this.
You've all saved my life at some point. And dishes out like what they all should be doing.
Yeah. And then again, security just come and take him out, which makes sense, to be honest. Veronica is at the hospital being a bitch.
Yep. But she does best. Turns out Taylor's fine, which Veronica is livid about. She's like, oh my gosh, she's alive. She can walk. Like, what a waste of time. And Taylor's just like, mum, go to the airport. And her mum's like, yeah, I might be able to get like a coach ticket now. And Taylor just hugs her and is like, bye. And that's it. She is very, I think that's probably like the most zen I've seen Taylor.
Yeah, it's a very calming moment, isn't it? There's no anger, there's no upset. It's just like acceptance, I guess.
It's very matter of fact, totally.
Yeah.
And then Kirsten gives Julie the letter.
Yeah. And like what I said earlier, she does the opposite of what Ryan does.
She rips it open
straight away. And it really harked back to when her and Ryan were sitting on the bed and she's like, tell me about her. Just tell me anything about her. Like clearly she just wants to devour anything. Yeah,
different ways of dealing, isn't it?
Yeah. Back in the fake world.
Ryan's in jail with Santa.
Yeah, who's been sick in his hat, which is much better than being sick in that sack, but sure, whatever. Oh. Someone is here to bail him out, and it's Sandy. And he says to him, a lot of what you said made sense. And Ryan's kind of like, how did your family fall apart? Like, what happened? Yeah. Like, how did this happen? And Sandy explains that after Marissa died, and explains who Marissa is, which I thought was quite funny, everyone got stuck, didn't really know how to say goodbye, yeah. Didn't really know what to do. So yeah, we give the OC a real hard time on like continuity mm-hmm. and like missing things and presuming things. I actually think they did really well in this episode.
Yeah. Like you say, like the Johnny stuff and
just yeah.
Holly, Jimmy.
Yeah, Holly being back. And then even like Sandy explaining to Ryan who Marissa is, because yeah. obviously he wouldn't think that he knew who he was, yeah. you know? So yeah, I thought it was good. Back in IRL, everyone's here.
Yeah.
Everyone has gathered for this hospital Christmaka.
Yeah. Julie explains that basically in the letter to Ryan, Marissa's just saying that she had to leave Newport so that they could all get on with their lives, that she loves him, but she had to say bye, which, to be honest, I think was sort of grounded, covered. But yeah, nice thing to do anyway. So she's yeah. obviously mailed this and it's got lost and turned up. Been returned to sender all this time later. Yeah. So they then, Caitlin gets the food and they all get ready to start having their Christmas Eve dinner. And Julie goes over to Ryan's bed and she sort of like tucks the letter inside of his pillow.
Yeah.
And then we're in the alternative universe again, aren't we?
Yep. And Ryan goes to Marissa's beach hut. That's where he needed to go. He left Sandy saying, I know where I need to go. Mm-hmm. I know what I need to do. And that's where he goes and he reads the letter and it's just sad. And I don't think it was Mazzy Star, but the song is like Into Dust, which I thought was by Mazzy Star.
Yeah, they've used that a few times at the beach hut scene. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, it's lovely anyway.
Yeah, it's just a really nice moment. It's such like it is such a good song, very reminiscent of their relationship, and this is him kind of saying goodbye.
Totally.
But continuity, please. He hadn't read the letter.
No.
Right? Because Julie rips it open, like it's clearly been sealed. How in the alternative universe could he read that letter and know what it says when he hasn't done in the real world?
Because, well, he had the letter in his
of
pocket.
Of all the things to pick up on.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, presumably there's two Ryans. There's Ryan in the hospital bed and Ryan in the parallel universe, so surely there can be two letters?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how it works.
Me neither.
Be honest. Yeah. We need Seth here to explain.
But yeah, he then wakes up to Taylor holding his hand and he's like, I've just had the weirdest dream. I think you were in it. Yeah. And she's like, I too had the weirdest dream. And then he just sort of says to her, I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be okay.
Big Sandy's all like, oh, look, he's back in the land of the living. Yeah. As if that would be the reaction if your son woke up from a coma. You'd be like, oh my God, get a doctor immediately.
Yeah.
And it's Kirsten that's like, everything's going to be okay. And Ryan just turns around and is like, yeah, I know.
Julie's face as well in this end scene. I was like,
oh. Yeah. I also love her blue satin shirt. It's cute.
Yeah, looks great.
It's a look.
Looks great.
And that's us. Yep. At the end of a very, very, very weird episode.
Yeah. It's very weird indeed. Next week's good as well, if I remember correctly. And it's New Year next week.
Woo. We've not had a new year since Oliver times.
Thank God.
Exciting. Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
Glorious.
Go for it.
Our listener of the week this week is Melanie Hubert, who got in touch saying that we should totally watch Veronica Mars next. It's one of her faves. We'll put it on the list. I've not seen it, but we can discuss that off air, Jane. And she also said, I'm starting to get sad that our run with the OC is almost over. It's like my happy place. I listen to it while I'm making dinner. So thanks for keeping me company during COVID.
Aww.
So thanks, Melanie. I actually read your No, which was actually a bit longer than that, but we'll keep it between us. but yeah, it made me feel quite emotional. And I feel like I can't actually say it enough, and I don't want to speak on your behalf, Jane, but I'm sure you would agree, like, the messages that we get from you guys are just so lovely.
Yeah, they're so nice.
It's just, I'm glad that, you know, you enjoy what we do. I'm glad that we can be part of your lives in a weird way, especially, like, kind of world over. We have had lockdown and COVID in the UK. I know lots of other places are still going through that. So yeah, it's been just as important to us.
No, most definitely.
And
thank
it's nice
you.
To hear that. So thanks.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm excited to see what madness next week brings.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything.
On to the next one.
Bye.